Well, good afternoon, and it's a great joy to be back. Well, I have to say that I've been enjoying temperatures of around 60, 62, perhaps. One day it got really warm, 65 maybe, and dropping down at night to 55 or so. I gather you've been sweating it here in hot Colombia. Well, it's good to be back. We are still in the Beatitudes, the hymn that we just sang together. It's not a very familiar hymn, but of course it's a hymn based on the Beatitudes. And our Beatitude for today is the one printed in your bulletin, Matthew 5 and verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So a little quiz. Get us started today. Eight things that you wish were different about yourself. You know, if you could reinvent yourself, reinvent your personality, your habits, your character. You could just, snap your fingers, and what would that transformation look like? Anyone want to volunteer? Drop 25 pounds. Have more time, more money. Exercise more. Go to bed earlier. Maybe have my sports team win just occasionally. Cubs fans. Maybe get your health back. Better position. You know, none of those are terrible. Some of them are pretty good things. We too easily buy into what someone has called the Beatitudes of the world. Blessed are the rich, for theirs is the kingdom of pleasure. Blessed are those who feel good about themselves, for they shall be confident. Blessed are the aggressive, for they shall control the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for recognition, for they shall be noticed. Blessed are the demanding, for they shall receive what's coming to them. Blessed are the sexually liberated, for they shall be their own gods. Blessed are the scheming, for they shall be called children of the powerful. Blessed are those who are praised by the world, for theirs is the kingdom of now. Well, it's one take on the Beatitudes of the world. These Beatitudes, these one-liners of Jesus, are so very different. Take this one. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Now, that says something immediately. Blessed are the pure in heart. God is concerned about the heart. It's not enough to renovate the outside. Remember Jesus in Matthew 23 when that passage of woe to the scribes and Pharisees. Woe to the Pharisees who cleanse the outside of the plate and cup, but inside there's just greed and self-indulgence. God is concerned about the heart. Jesus' aim is not just to reform manners. You know, the Beatitudes is not the southern version of good manners. It's much more than that. It involves a complete change of heart from the inside. Man looks at the outward appearance. God looks at the heart. What comes out of our mouths proceeds, the scripture says, from the heart. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a man. They come from the heart. What's wrong with the world today? Glance at your newspaper. Listen to your favorite news channel program. Ask yourself, what's wrong with the world today? This conundrum that is man, that is humanity. You know, one level, man is extraordinary. The 8th Psalm says, he was made a little lower than the angels. Take a cell phone. You know, some of us remember, well, this table remembers, life without cell phones. Life without instant communication. Life without GPS. I've been in the Baltic Sea. Someone has to go there, you know. And in Berlin and Tallinn in Estonia and St. Petersburg and Helsinki and Stockholm and Copenhagen. And at one point on the trip, my sister, who lives in Wales, said, "Oh, I see you're just coming into Helsinki." She was following me, tracking, stalking me. Using an app on her phone, she could tell where I was. Within 10 feet, I think. Scary. You remember those times when you went on a trip and... men, you just refused to ask for directions because you knew the way. And don't you miss those fights with your wife that you used to have? Because she was always right. And now all the fun has been taken out of it because you just have a GPS who says, turn left, turn right. You're at your destination. Recalculating. Extraordinary invention, absolutely extraordinary. Man's ability, man's achievements. And yet, just take one headline from this week, the racial tensions. How extraordinary. And how thankful we should be for the way in which South Carolina responded. The influence of the gospel, without a shadow of a doubt. Contrast Charleston with Ferguson. What's the explanation? The explanation, my friend, is the gospel. It's the influence of the gospel. But I don't want to go into it, but it's just one example, but the tension. the strife, the bitterness, the hatred, the animosity, the contrast between man's achievement. What is man? And on one level, able to do these extraordinary things. And yet on another level, full of evil and strife and bitterness and clamor. Because his heart isn't right with God. And this beatitude is saying, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. What is it? Let me ask three questions, three simple little questions. What does it mean to see God? What does the Bible mean when it says to see God? We shall see God. What does that mean? Secondly, let me ask the question, what is it to be pure in heart? And thirdly, let me ask, how are these two things brought together? That's simple enough. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. Let me suggest to you that when the Bible talks about seeing God, it's saying at least three things. First of all, we are admitted into his presence. We are admitted into his presence. Just one example. When Moses, after the plague of darkness, comes back to Pharaoh, you remember, explodes, and he says to Moses, get away from me, you will never see my face again. You will never see my face again. You will never be admitted into my presence again. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will be admitted into the presence of God. So I go to my doctor, his name is Dr. Meyer, and I drive up to the office and I go to the desk, and these days half of them are wearing masks, and you wash your hands with that stuff, and you say to the receptionist, I want to see Dr. Meyer. And she says, well, you can go online. No, that will not do. Maybe she says, I can give you a picture. And you say, no, I want to see him. I want to be brought into his physical presence. I want to be able to talk to him. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They will be brought into the very presence of God. Secondly, when the Bible uses this language of seeing God, it has in mind the idea of being confronted by the glory of God. The glory of God. Remember in Job, right at the end of Job, after Job has done with all of his questioning and God comes to him, and there's a moment when Job says, I have been in your presence. I have heard of you, Job says, but now my eye sees you. What did he mean when he said that? I've heard of you before, but now through this experience, my eyes see you. Because he was confronted by the glory of God, the awesome glory, the splendor of the glory, the intimidating nature of the glory of God. God shows himself, and he shows himself mediated through creation and through providence. And then there are times when he brings us into his presence, and you feel as though, yes, I'm standing in the very presence of God, and that presence is altogether glorious and magnificent and awesome. And then sometimes when the Bible talks about seeing God, take for example Psalm 27. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. Hide not your face from me. Hide not your face from me. What's the psalmist asking for? He wants the reassurance of God's love and his grace and his tenderness and his promises. He's been passing through difficult times. He's been passing through trials and temptations and difficulties. And now he's saying, Lord, don't hide your face from me. Come near me so that I can see you and be reassured by the tenderness of your love and grace. So that's what this beatitude is saying. Blessed are the pure in heart, because they will stand in God's presence. And they will be awed by his glory, and they will be comforted by his grace and promise. Second question I want to ask is, what does this beatitude mean when it says, blessed are the pure in heart? Okay, hands up those whose hearts are pure. No volunteers. Who's got a pure heart? The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. What does this beatitude mean? What does Jesus mean when he says, blessed are the pure in heart? What does it mean to be pure in heart? The Danish philosopher, theologian, Søren Kierkegaard once wrote a book called Purity of Heart is to Will One Thing. Purity of Heart is to Will One Thing. To Will One Thing. What does it mean to have a pure heart? It means to be single-minded, to have one all-encompassing desire. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? That's the question. David asks that question, Psalm 24. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? It's Old Testament is thinking of Jerusalem on a hill, Mount Zion, where God's presence was locally manifested. Who's gonna ascend that hill and come into the presence of God and be awed by his glory and comforted by his grace and tenderness and promises? Who's going to do that? And the answer, he who has clean hands and a pure heart. This beatitude of Jesus didn't come out of thin air. This is Jesus reflecting on his knowledge and understanding of the Old Testament of Psalm 24. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who wills one thing. Who has one all-prevailing, singular desire and goal. See, the problem is that we're not always ready for that. You know, Augustine, perhaps the greatest theologian, certainly in the top three, of the theologians in the 2,000-year history of the New Testament church. And Augustine, when he was young, he's writing later on as an older man in Confessions, but he's writing about his youth, and he says he remembers praying a prayer when he was probably in his late teens. And you have to understand that Augustine, who's this great, towering theologian, Augustine as a teenager he was just wild. Sexually promiscuous. I couldn't exaggerate how promiscuous he was. And he prayed this prayer. Lord, give me chastity. But not yet. I want chastity. I understand the importance of chastity. But not yet. He has a dual mind. He has a conflicted mind. He's not really sure what he wants. Does he want God? Does he want to be in the presence of God? Does he want to be awed by the glory of God? Does he want to be reassured by the promises of God? Or does he want gratification here and now? And Augustine's answer is yes, I want both. And Jesus is saying, no, blessed are the pure in heart, who will one thing, who are focused on one thing. It's addressing the issue, do you see, of hypocrisy. Of being one thing out here and another thing in here. Somebody said that the definition of a hypocrite is the person who lets his light so shine before men that you can't see what's behind. You let your light shine so that there's a glare so that you can actually see what's behind it. I was reading a story the other day from the Weekly Standard about the involvement of American, U.S. Industry in Nazi Germany. The likes of IBM, the computer company, and a man, interestingly, the chairman by the name of Thomas Watson, not Thomas Watson the Puritan, but he was the chairman of IBM in the early 40s, 1940s. And Nazi Germany employed IBM know-how, technology, for slave labor and the death camps and the pogroms of the 6 million Jews. Thomas Watson was awarded the German Merit Cross for his contributions to German industry. Similar stories about ITT and General Motors and Standard Oil and Chase Manhattan and on the story went. Fascinating. Conflicted, you see. Conflicted. Saying one thing, doing another. One thing in public, another thing in private. Business is business. And Jesus is saying, blessed are the pure in heart. Single-minded, with one goal, one purpose, one focus. Now, here's the challenge. How are these two things brought together? Blessed are the pure in heart. You see, because in a sense, how can I be pure in heart? How can I even get there? The answer, my friend, to begin with, the answer lies in believing in the Lord Jesus. When you believe in the Lord Jesus, your stony heart is taken away and you're given a new heart. I've just had the extraordinary privilege this summer of visiting one of our members here who has a new heart. And visiting him in hospital on a couple of occasions. And now that he's back here in Colombia, but he's got a new heart. And the extraordinary story of a surgeon who holds a heart, a beating heart, in his hand. He's held it in his hand, giving him a new heart. Heart, a brand new heart. Well, that's what happens when you believe in the Lord Jesus. He gives you a new heart. So we are justified and we can come into the very presence of God. We can stand in His presence. And yet, the good that we would, we do not. The evil that we would not, that we find, we do. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? The flesh lusts against the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. And that's our experience as Christians. We believe. I believe. I believe in Jesus. In Jesus alone. I stand in Him. In Him alone. I trust in Him. But help my unbelief. Because there's an ongoing struggle, isn't it? There's an ongoing fight. There's an ongoing conflict. There's an ongoing irresolution. And Jesus is saying, blessed are the pure in heart, single-minded, determined, focused. Kevin DeYoung says, and some of you just heard him preach here a few weeks ago, Kevin DeYoung says in his book, A Hole in Our Holiness, and he says about Matthew 5:8, it's one of the most helpful verses in the area of temptation and lust. It's one of the most helpful verses in the area of temptation and lust. The key, he says, is that God fights pleasure with pleasure. There's the fleeting pleasure of temptation and lust, which will last for a moment. And there's the all-encompassing pleasure that will last for eternity. The pleasure of the single-minded purpose that seeks first the kingdom of God and the glory that belongs to it. Some lust now, or Jesus promised they shall see God. What is this beatitude saying to you today? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. It's a statement, but it's also a challenge, isn't it? A challenge to be out and out. A challenge to be single-minded. A challenge to be focused entirely upon Him and the things that belong to His kingdom. Single-minded. Determined. Focused. I want Him. I find my pleasure in Him. I find my fulfillment in Him. I find my wholeness in Him. In Jesus. The altogether lovely one and fairer than 10,000. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Father, we thank You. Thank You for this beatitude, this saying, this one-liner from Jesus. Help us to take it with us today. Perhaps like a piece of gum and chew on it and sense something of its challenge and sweetness, its provocation and blessing. Help us as we run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, that we might be pure in heart, single-minded, with one focus for Your praise and glory. So grant it. Help us by Your Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Amen.